Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we worship this wonderful new day and gather around. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson, Luke 13, the words of Jesus about salvation. Pray with me. Oh Lord, plant your word deep in our hearts and minds this day and cause it to grow and give faith and understanding that we go forth with joy and peace as your beloved children. Grant us now all the Holy Spirit to gladly hear and receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you looking at it and looking at it and looking at it? And are you focused on it and focused on it and focused on it? Are you running to it and running to it? Are you bringing other people to it? That should happen. That should be a response to hearing this gospel lesson. What are we looking at? What are we focused on? What are we running to? What are we bringing our family and friends to? It's called the door. It's called the door. There's urgency in this gospel. There's conviction in this gospel, as always. A person asked Jesus, "Are only a few? Who's going to be saved? Only a few saved." What does Jesus say? Strive to enter through the narrow door. Many will try and not be able to. Strive to enter through the narrow door. So our response, where's the door? May I look at the door and focus on the door, give my attention to the door, run to the door, strive to enter through the door, and bring a bunch of people with me through the door, that we may live and not go to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, but be at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The door. What is this door? Well, the door is Jesus. As is often the case, the Lord, when he talks about himself. He's the one person that can talk about himself, and we don't call him egotistical because he is Lord and Savior, our salvation. We want him to talk about himself. He is the door. Elsewhere, he says, "I am the gate for the sheep. I am the door for the sheep." He is the door. All attention on Jesus, the door. All focus on Jesus, the door. Strive to enter through the narrow door, through Jesus. Let me say three things about the door today. Our topic, Jesus the door. Three things about him being a door. Simple things. First of all, note he is a single door. He's a single door. One door. Strive to enter through the door. We sure wish Jesus would have said something like, when the guy asked him, "Are only a few going to be saved?" It'd been nice if Jesus would have said, "Everybody's going to be saved. Don't worry about it, buddy. I mean, everybody will be saved. God loves everybody. He doesn't care what you believe, what you do, what your faith is. There's many doors to heaven. It's like Neyland Stadium this Saturday. There's many gates to enter the stadium. Pick one. There's not just one gate. Get in all over the whole stadium. There's many religions, many faiths. Believe whatever you want. You'll be in. Don't worry about it. Now go on your merry way." But Jesus doesn't say that. Strive to enter through the, not a among many, but the narrow door. There's only a single door. One way to salvation. One way to the feast. Let's review. There's not two. There's not three. There's not four, five, or six. No matter what the world out there may say about going to heaven, there's one door. So first Lutheran, make sure you got it. How many doors are there? Very good. Thank you. And some of you put up the finger. Very, very good. One door. And Christ is that door. Now it's easy to say that in church. You go out to the world and you say that to people that want to believe whatever they want to believe, and you'll be persecuted, so be it. You'll be ridiculed, so be it. You're called narrow-minded, so be it. We bear the cross. If you say that in other parts of the world, you'll be killed. And the apostles and many others were killed for saying that Jesus is the single door and there's no other door. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's not what I say. That's what Jesus says. Believe the words of Jesus. He is a single door. And this is hard for us Americans because we like our options. We like choices. That's America, the land of choice and option. Where am I going to go eat today? Many restaurant options. I like that. What am I going to wear today? I open my closet, many pieces of clothing I can wear. Which one do I want to wear today? Options. Be awful boring if I had one piece of clothing. What am I going to watch on TV today? And I go through my numerous channels on cable or satellite, whatever I got. What sports event do I, what football game do I want to watch this weekend? There's going to be hundreds of games. Which one do I want to watch? Options, choices. What car do I want to drive to church? I got three or four. Which one do we want to drive? With eternal life, one option, one choice, and all the others lead to hell. One single door. And the evidence that Christ is the only way, is the evidence is his words, believe his words, but also the cross. That he shed his blood. He died on a cross. He sacrificed himself. If there was another way or other ways, why would he ever die? He would simply say, choose one of the other ways. There's lots of ways. Choose one. I'm not going to die. I don't have to because there's other ways. His death means there's no other way. He has to die to win the salvation of the world. You know, and I read where a true story of a farmer in Iowa who wanted to say I love you to his wife, and so he made a sign in his field, I love you. Big sign in his field, I love you. And he flew his wife overhead. She saw, I love you. What a romantic devil, an Iowa farmer. Do you know what the sign I love you was made out of? Manure. Now there's romance. He was practical. He could spread the manure on his field then and fertilize his crop. See? Nothing like saying I love you with manure, huh? God says I love you with blood. God doesn't mess around. He says I love you with his own blood. A single door, the blood of Jesus avails. And it only avails for salvation. Secondly, he's a small door. Strive to enter through the narrow door. He's not some big, elaborate, wonderful, impressive door. Oh, there he is. The narrow little door. It's difficult to enter, he seems to say. Strive to enter. It's not so easy. The Greek word that we translate strive is the word agonizomai. You might be able to guess what English word we get from agonizomai. It's the word agony. He is saying, go through every agony, go through every pain, go through every suffering, go through every persecution, go through every agony to enter through the narrow door. It's not going to be easy. It is too much hardship that we enter the kingdom. It's not near as easy as you think it is. It's words of warning. Agony, pain, suffering. I want to sign up for Christianity because I love agony and pain and suffering. Strive to enter through the little door. It's a narrow door. Now, what's he teaching us by saying it's little and narrow? Three things come to mind. First of all, to enter, you must be small. God must shrink us that we enter. What do I mean? Those with big heads don't get in. And big-headedness is pride. Making yourself small means repentance is implied here. You must repent to enter. Get on your knees and crawl. The poor in spirit inherit the kingdom. Not the proud in spirit, but the poor. Those that confess, those that are repentant, that God shrinks in repentance by his law, they will enter. And all the big-headed Pharisees are so proud and self-righteous, they won't enter. Their head's too big, they can't get through. Repentance. The breaking of pride is implied, entering the kingdom. And also, greed is implied. If it's a narrow door, you can't take your house with you. You can't take your money with you, your bank with you, your cars with you, and all your TV sets. You can't take Tennessee football team with you, although I don't know if we want to take them anyway. They may not be very good this year. But the words of Christ come to mind. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He wants to rid us of it. We must get rid of our idols, is what he's saying. You can't be an idolater to enter. You can't love all this other stuff and try to get into my kingdom. It doesn't work that way. Deny yourself. Get rid of your idols. I am your God. So may he lead us to repent of our pride, our greed, our idolatry. Make yourself small in repentance. May the Spirit do that. Also implied, I think, the narrow door, small door, is that we go in one by one. You can't get into heaven on the shirt tails of somebody else. One, it's very personal. One by one you enter through a narrow door. You can't get three or four people in. One by one. You must face the Almighty God yourself. Not with mom and dad by your side. Not with the minister by your side. It's you facing the God of gods. There's not a mass entrance where, hey, I'll just be in the middle of the sheep and God won't recognize that I'm really a goat. I'll sneak my way in. I'll get in on the shirt tails of grandpa and grandma. They believe, surely I'll be in too. They were Lutherans, I'm a Lutheran, I'll be in too. Mom and dad believe, I'll get in. You don't get in on the faith of your grandparents or your mom and dad or your minister or other church members. It's your faith. One by one you enter. Do you believe? Are you baptized? Are you following? Personal. Thirdly, I think, by small door, he is teaching us to look for salvation in small things. It's a small door. It's not elaborate and huge and big. It's in small things that God saves. It's the smallness of a little water and word that he saves. The smallness of bread and wine, his body and blood that he forgives and saves. The smallness of his word proclaimed, which in this aura of information seems quite small with all the other stuff out there. The little word of God that I hear, my sins are forgiven. It's in small things that he saves. So don't pass them by. Don't look for him in big, impressive, wonderful things. He's in the small things of word and sacrament. This is the door into his kingdom. You know, Anne, our kindergarten teacher, she has a new group of kindergartners, and they're just learning now, and they've already learned a fact of the school. One of her students named Natalie, this nice little girl, she said to Anne the other day, and of course my wife had to tell me this, she said, you know, Mrs. Busher, you know something? And Anne said, what? What's that? And she said, Pastor Busher has a big tummy. Now she's been suspended from the school. We're not sure what's going to happen. No. She's an honest kid. I mean, big things we notice. Be it a big man, or a big house, or a big stadium, or a big game, or a big event, or a big program, a big building. We notice big things. God's not in the big stuff of the world. He's in the little things of his church. The word that is proclaimed, Jesus died and loves you and forgives you. Be washed and cleansed in the water. Eat my body, drink my blood. Small door. Don't miss it because you're looking for him somewhere else. He's here. The door is open. It's open for all. And then last of all, he is a saving door. He's not a long tunnel of a door that I think I'm going to get there. There's the light. Oh, doggone it, I didn't make it. He's not a long tunnel where you don't make it. Nor are there other doors behind him you have to jump through. He is the door, and when you're in, you're in. And you're in paradise. And you are forgiven, and you are saved, and you're in the kingdom of God. You're in the family of God. No other hoops, nothing else. You're in by his grace. He's the door. He's a saving door. Notice the description of heaven once you're in the door. It's a feast. You see, from our perspective, it's small. But when you get into heaven, it's huge. There's all these angels and archangels. There's the millions and billions of saints. There's this feast. And wow, what a feast. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are there. And the New Jerusalem, the gold streets, the pearly gates. This is huge. From our perspective, it's small. Little church, little bread and wine, little water. But the little bread and wine here is the door to the heavenly feast. And the little water here is the door to the river of life in heaven. And the little word that we preach is a door to the wonders of paradise and the eternal word of God in his presence. From our perspective, small. Once you're in, huge. Salvation. I'm in. I'm at peace. No more striving. No more agony. No more pain. I'm at peace with my God. Wow. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Remember the show, Let's Make a Deal? Might show my age. Monty Hall, I think, was the host's name. And there were three doors always. Door number one, door number two, door number three. And they were all pretty humble doors. And behind one door was a really, really nice prize. And the other two were dud prizes. And so which door is the nice prize behind? You had a 33% chance of getting the prize. Which door is it? With Jesus as the door, what are your chances of entering eternal life? Are they 1 in 3, church? Are they 1 in 2? Are they 2 in 3? Are they 1 in 1? There you go. All right, there's 100% chance in Jesus. 100% guaranteed chance. Your sins are forgiven in Him. You are God's child in Him. You're in the kingdom in Him. You will rise from the dead in Him. You'll live forever with Him. A 1 in 1 chance when you believe and are baptized. Those are pretty good odds. And some of you fools go out and play the lottery when you have the riches of the gospel here in church. And one last word. Being close to the door isn't enough. And Jesus speaks about this. Being close to the door isn't enough. As Jesus mentions, many will say, Lord, you know, we ate with you and you taught in our streets. We know you. You know us. I mean, we're right here. Open the door. And He says, I don't know who you are, where you come from. Who are you? They were close, but no faith. No baptism. This is a lot of people in Jesus' day. Curious. Let's go see Jesus, the miracle worker. Let's go see what He's about. Let's go listen. That they were curious. They were right there on the fringe, but they didn't repent. There's no faith. They didn't follow Him. They didn't believe in Him. They weren't baptized by John the Baptist or perhaps later with the apostles. Left out. The imagery here is the ark. When Jesus talks about the door, He wants us to think of the ark, undoubtedly. And think of all the people that walked by the ark when Noah was building the ark. Hey, Noah, oh, wow, the ark looks pretty good. They might have touched the wood on the ark. Looked inside. Well, it's a pretty neat ark. Talked about it with Noah. Hey, we had every intention to be in the ark. But when the day came, they did not enter the ark. And what's the Bible say? The door was shut. You had your chance. And I can imagine a lot of people when the rain fell, knocking, let us in, let us in, let us in. I don't know you. You had your chance. And so there's lots of people that are curious about the Christian church. Maybe come to church some. They drive by our church. They know some things about Jesus. They're familiar with some things. But it's all just perhaps some head knowledge. They're just acquaintances. There's no faith. Never baptized. They don't participate in the life of the church. When Jesus says, I don't know, the word here, know, is important. He's not talking about head knowledge. He knew them in His head, and they maybe knew of Him in their heads. He's talking of heart knowledge. Meaning, I don't know you. I've never participated with you. You don't believe in me. You don't love me. We haven't been together. You haven't participated in my life. Maybe you know some facts, but you're over there. No faith is the bottom line. No participation in my life. You're on the fringe. Is that you? Your family? Friends? On the fringe? Only God knows. And then there's a strong warning from the Lord here. Close is not good enough. Get in. Go through every pain to get in. Believe. Be baptized. Keep hearing the word. Eat and drink of the body and blood of Jesus. Participate in the life of Christ in the church. And take comfort. You're forgiven. You're saved. You're in the kingdom. But the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Never get so big-headed thinking, I'm in, I can do whatever I want. Then your head's too big. And it doesn't get through the narrow door. Only a few saved? The real question is, are you saved? Make every effort. Strive to enter through the narrow door. It is a single door, a small door, a saving door. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.